It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Welcome, and thank you for letting me invade your ear holes for this. You know, a lot of people, as we've been uploading these podcasts, have been asking, well, does that mean you're not going to upload to YouTube anymore? No, that is not what that means at all. That is not the case. My interviews will be on YouTube as always. Nothing changes there, but now you have the option if you want to just listen to an interview like this one with Kelly Kelly. Although, why would you choose to not look at Kelly Kelly and just listen to her? That just doesn't make any sense to me. Man, you can do both, though. You can listen to this now and then go watch the interview on YouTube and go, oh, yeah, Chris was right. Mm-hmm. The Chris Van Vliet Show, brought to you by Green Roads. And unfortunately, not all CBD products or CBD companies are created equal. And I know you've heard a lot about CBD over the last year or so, and it's been a game changer for me and super helpful. I'm not a weed guy at all. In fact, I've never smoked, but Green Roads has really helped me with a lot of stress and anxiety. And I know a lot of other people use it for inflammation and pain. The CBD oil itself, just put it under your tongue. That's what I mostly do. The Relax gummies, they're great as well. So use my code CHRIS15 to get 15% off your order at greenroadsworld.com. That's CHRIS15 for 15% off at greenroadsworld.com. The CVV show also brought to you by Samson Technologies, which is the audio equipment that you are listening to right now. And if you have a podcast or you're looking to start a podcast, I highly recommend Samson, because perception's reality. If you want to sound like a pro, or if you want people to think you're a pro, you got to sound like a pro. So there you go. Samson has great stuff that's going to make you sound like $1 million, and it costs much less than $1 million. Go to SamsonTech.com to check out their product offerings. And if you're going to ask, I will tell you, I'm using Samson's Pro Podcasting Pack. So June 13th marked 13 years since Kelly Kelly made her debut on WWE's version of ECW. She was the youngest diva at 19 years old. Crazy. We talk about that. Also, her winning the Divas Championship and having to deal with the criticism of her in-ring work. Also, one of her favorite matches that she ever worked, we talk about her defending the World Heavyweight Championship on behalf of Edge. I really enjoyed this chat. I hope that you do as well. It's Barbie Blank, a.k.a. Kelly Kelly. All right, so yesterday was a big day for you, 13 years.
Yes.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I had no idea, and I think I woke up yesterday morning to all these tweets, and they were like, oh, it's your 13 years. And I was just like, oh my gosh, time has just flown by. I mean, it's so crazy to think.
Does it feel like 1,000 years ago?
Yes. It makes me feel very old,
okay? You're not old.
No, I'm 32, but yeah. Still.
But that is crazy, though, that you started your WWE career at 19.
I know. The youngest WWE diva ever. So.
And those are like the formidable years, like 18, 19, 20, you know, into your early 20s. Mm-hmm. So you kind of like went to the school of WWE.
Oh, I got thrown into the wolves, that's for sure. You know, I definitely just had to grow up at a very young age, and I had to have a really thick skin. I had to move out on my own. I had to experience what it was like doing my own laundry and like just stuff that you don't think about. And then when it happens and you're like, put to the test of like, okay, what do I do?
Yeah.
Because I had to move to Louisville, Kentucky, and that's where the training was, so very far away from my home and anyone that I knew.
That's Ohio Valley, right?
Yes. Yeah, OVW. Mm-hmm. But everybody, you know, would go out. I didn't go out. I didn't have a fake ID. So it's miserable. Like, it was so awful. It was such a hard year. But it was great because I got to learn so much down there. And so I was glad that I went there and that I trained there and that I was given the tools to come up and, you know, into the WWE.
Although once you got into WWE and you still weren't of age, couldn't you just like walk up to bars and be like, hey guys?
I mean, Kentucky, they were, I feel like they knew who I was, and they were just like, we're just going to mess with her because who she is, you know? And there were so many times I'd be like, don't you know who I am? I'm Kelly Kelly. Like such a 19-year-old, like, of, like, thinking, right?
Right.
And I think back and I was just like, what a jerk.
Anybody who's watching this right now will see this Kelly Kelly and then this one in the background here. This is a, it's like double for you here.
Yeah, I know.
That's Kelly 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 Kelly. Yeah.
There we go. K3s.
Who came up with the name?
So Vince came up with the name actually on the first episode of ECW. It was going to be Kelly, and because he had given me a list of names, you know, of how many or like there was 15 names, and pick a name that you like, right?
Okay.
So I was like, okay, and so I picked Kelly because I thought it was cute, and I think there was a Barbie named Kelly because I couldn't be Barbie. So I was like, okay. And then I guess Vince had seen an episode of Cheers, and the girl's name on it is Kelly, and her boyfriend in it did a song called Kelly, 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 Kelly. And so in Vince's mind, that's how it came to be. So
I feel like if you debuted today, Barbie Blank is a great wrestling name.
That's what I wanted. So, and they're like, no, we can't trademark it. And it was a whole thing, but...
That is a far better, not that Kelly Kelly's a bad name, but Barbie Blank?
I know. I agree.
Is Kelly Kelly trademarked?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when you go to do signings, you're Barbie.
I'm Barbie Blank, formerly known as.
Right, FKA. Yes.
You have to put the FKA in there.
So what do you sign the autograph as?
I usually will just do Kelly Kelly.
Okay.
Unless they ask for, hey, can you sign both? I know.
Oh, all right. So with yesterday being your 13-year anniversary, all these people were tweeting these things at you. Were you seeing some memories and going, oh, I completely forgot about that?
Yeah. So many in ECW that, like, because I feel like Vince wanted to kind of, like, make sure that never was talked about again. because of what I was doing at 19 years old, like, this exhibitionist and this whole thing, I think... I look back and I'm just like, oh my gosh, my poor parents, number one. Like, what I put them through when I first started, I could only imagine. So, stuff like that, I'll see pictures of it, and when I had to do the dances, that was rough.
When that was first pitched to you, though, were you just like, I'm happy to be here?
Yeah, that's basically what it was. Like, I told, Paul Heyman actually called me, and he was like, we have this idea, and it's this gimmick, and you're going to come out, and you're going to do, like, this, like, striptease, and then your jealous boyfriend's going to come and, like, wrap you up in a towel. And, like, number one, I have no rhythm, so this is not going to be good. I was, like, I was a gymnast, like, I just, like, I'm typical white girl, like... You know, and Vince was like, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. I'll show you, I'll teach you the moves. I was like, well, whatever I gotta do to get my foot in the door, this is it. So, my first day, I remember Triple H, Vince were all in the room, and they were just like, all right, these are just the basic moves that we need. And I'm like sitting there, this like I'm watching Vince McMahon, who I watched when I was like 13 years old, and just like idolized. And I'm just like, and he's like got a chair, and he like swings his jacket around. And
oh my god!
I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm there. If anyone could be a fly on the wall in this right now, but it was great. It was really definitely a great memory of that and how I started. And the funny thing is so I go on and it's we're on live television my first night. We rehearsed hours with this chair. How are they gonna? The prop is the chair. I walk on the stage. There's no chair.
Oh no!
And I was like, oh my god! I stood there for a good few like seconds, and I was like, I guess I'm just gonna have to just dance. Like I don't. Oh, it was so awful. And then I get to the back, and Vince is like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, but you did so good. You took it on the fly. Like you took it on the fly. I was like, yeah, I guess.
How long after that, the Extreme Exposé, from there, did you start to get treated like an actual wrestler?
It took a good year. I mean, for people to finally, like, take me serious and actually let them, you know, the WWE let me wrestle, you know, because they wanted to make sure I was ready, that the fans were ready to see it. Because I feel like when they start to push people down, you know, push wrestlers down their throats, like mm-hmm. The fans, mm-hmm. The fans don't like it. And it's like, they can feel that you're like getting pushed onto them. And for me, I always wanted to wait until it was my time. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be, you know, push down their throats like some of the other Diva Search winners or something like that. I wanted for my time to come. And I knew my time was going to come. So I was like, I knew I had many years. And I was very young, and I was able to kind of watch and, like, study a lot of girls and just kind of be my own character. Because Vince was like, you just go out there and be you. Mm. And so that's what I did. And fans just over the years really got behind me.
Yeah. So. You're one of the most popular divas of all time.
Thank you.
It's true. You won the Divas Championship that night, it was power to the people.
Yeah.
Was that, I mean, it's wrestling, right? Was that a work?
Okay, so no, we are all, maybe Vince knew, but Fit Finley is our trainer, or was our producer who put our matches together, and Brie was the champion, and it was like me, Eve, and Beth, whoever the fans picked to go against her, so we all had to learn different matches, so Brie had to learn 3 matches that day, and whoever's name was called to go out, she had to remember the match.
Wow.
It was very nerve-wracking for her. I felt so bad. I was like, I don't know how you're going to do this.
Yeah.
Because it was like, they gave us a good amount of time. I think we had a good, like, 5 minutes.
Which is crazy that...
television.
But it's crazy that that was considered a good amount of time.
Right, because now the women are getting, like, 20 minutes.
Right. And... yeah, you were, like, right on the cusp of, like, the Give Divas a Chance thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Would it be, you know, how much different would it be for you now if you were still wrestling?
I came back. I did the first ever Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, of course.
I did the first women's ever pay-per-view. And it's very different. There's just a lot more girls, and it's a lot. These girls are just, they are really giving it their all. Like, they do not, they are jumping off tables and ladders and chairs and, like, you know, just stuff that, when I was there, could have never imagined that we would ever have the chance to do. And I just admire it so much. And I praise these girls for what they're doing right now, because I don't know if I could come back and do half of what they're doing.
Of course you could.
I mean, maybe.
But. Do you have any plans or hopes to come back and wrestle full time again?
I don't think I could do it full time, because it's a lot. I mean, you're on the road 300 days a year.
Yeah.
You know, it gets to be a lot, but I would definitely come back for a run or two. I miss the fans. I miss performing. You know, I love doing what I did, and so.
There's nothing like getting out there in front of that crowd,
oh my gosh,
right?
No, it's the most amazing feeling that you'll ever get, walking through the curtain and just having all those people chant your name, and it's just like the best.
So if someone's watching this and they're just a wrestling fan, what have you been doing since we last saw you?
Oh my gosh. Let's see. So I retired in 2013.
And nothing like retiring in your 20s.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. and then I was on a reality show on E! Called Wags for 4 years, and that was really fun.
Do more people recognize you from Wags or from WWE?
Well, you know what's funny is that the men recognize me from WWE and the women recognize me from Wags.
Yeah.
So it's good. I have that, that mixed.
Yeah.
I like it.
What's
good.
What's more scripted? Reality TV or WWE?
I mean, I think that's why I was so good at this TV, because I was, like, used to wrestling and, like, having, you know, just knowing what you got to do on the fly. And when you're given, like, okay, this is, you know, we're not going to give you what to say. We're going to kind of just put it in your hands and you just take it. So that's why I had a lot of fun with the reality TV, because I was able to use a lot of that, what I learned. Wrestling.
So what else have you been up to?
So I did that, and then I've just been doing, like, guest appearance spots on, like, soap operas, which is really fun. I'm starting to get into the acting, kind of the acting bug a little bit. I signed with a lot of fashion brands on Instagram. That's
the new world.
It's crazy how much it's taken off, too, you know, and I love doing that. I mean, I started as a model, so... you know, it's kind of second nature, I guess.
The crazy thing is, you could probably make as much money, if not more, just doing influencer stuff.
1,000,000%, yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's a whole new world that we're living in.
It is, but it's great. And then I also do a lot of, like, Comic Cons. I do a lot of signings. I probably do at least twice a month.
Wow.
Signings all over. And those, I love doing those, and I love meeting the fans. And it's so great, you know, just having, like, especially little girls when they're like, oh, Kelly, I used to watch you. I want to be like you when I get older. And you're just like, oh, that makes, like, makes me feel like what I did was, you know, there's a purpose, and it makes, you know, it's really nice.
That balances out the creepy guys who are like,
exactly.
I've loved you forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sign my arm, please.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
What are, is that the strangest thing you've signed?
Yeah, or like they want me to sign like their chest.
Oh, guys, come on.
Sometimes I'll be like, I'll sign your hand. Like, you know, let's find a middle balance here, or we get a happy medium.
What's the number one thing that fans want to ask you about?
If I'm ever going to come back.
Okay.
The number one question.
Because when I tweeted this out and you retweeted
it,
so many people wanted to ask about the Edge match. Because you're the only woman in WWE history to defend the World Heavyweight Championship.
That match. Oh, my goodness. That gives me some. That, along with winning the championship, was one of my favorite matches. Because there's all this pressure on it. Like, there are so many different things that were happening. Like, you know, then I was going to get fired. And then, so it was like all this stuff, right? So before we went out, I love Layla and Michelle. And I told them, I said, kick the living shit out of me. I want to be, because when I get fired, I'm going to have to cry. Mm. And so I was like, I want to be able to hold all of these feelings in. Side and just the second she says it, I want to just be like, ah. So I probably blacked out at one point. Like, they just gave me all they could, but it was great. I wanted it that way. I wanted the fans to feel bad. I wanted the fans to think, oh my God, there's no way in hell Kelly's gonna win this champion. Like, there's no way. So when we won, it was really cool. And then how Vicky came out and fired me, and you know, and Michael Hayes is like, right before, he's like, Kelly, I need you to effing cry. I'm like, oh my God, like, okay. So I'm feeling all this pressure from every direction, but it went really well, and I was really happy.
So where did you go to when you have to cry? Because I don't think I could cry on command.
I was in so much pain. Literally in so much pain. I got to the back and I had ice packs everywhere. I was like, oh, it was rough.
But you cried different tears after you won the Divas Championship.
Yes, that was happy tears. that was coming from a place of like, holy shit, I worked for 5 years and I worked so hard to finally get this. And it's based on being voted by the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately why it wasn't given to me by a writer. It was up to the fans. And so that's why it truly meant a lot.
Was that reaction written into the script?
No, they were like,
Michael Hayes, need you to effing cry for that one?
No, he was like, just feel, you know, whatever you're gonna feel.
But did you have a promo planned out for that?
No, so they wanted me to get on the mic and they wanted me to thank, you know, power to the people, because that was what they were doing. It was about, so I just,
people,
you
power.
Know, power to the people.
And isn't that kind of coming full circle? Because wasn't it John Laurinaitis that was the one that found you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he found me. Yeah, I was like doing modeling in Florida, Venus Swimwear.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like in their catalogs. He had seen me.
So he's like flipping through a catalog and he's like,
based something like along those lines. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I made it much more simple than it really is. And from there, do they call your agent?
Yes, so they called my agent, and my agent was, you know, called me and he was like, hey, do you have any interest in WWE? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I used to watch it with my dad for years, and I loved it, and they were like, okay, well, they want to try out. So I was like, okay. So the tryout was in Atlanta, and I tried out for a week, and it was rough. I mean, they were like, I ran the ropes 500 times, I had to take back pumps like 500 times. At one point, I was like about to pass out, because I was just, but they wanted to see if I could handle it. And they wanted, because they weren't used to training models. Like, that was their first, I think me and Alicia Fox was like their first kind of experience with models and kind of molding them into wrestlers and, you know, their kind of poster child.
Was there like maybe some resentment from people who had wrestled in the indies and come up through the system?
Yeah, we got a lot of people who were not happy about it. But all you can do is like, you know, there's so much respect. You have to give so much respect for the people who have been there, who have worked, you know, for years to get to this spot. And I tried to come in as respectful as I could, shake everyone's hand, you know, and just you know, just kind of stand back too and don't be in anybody's way and keep my mouth shut. And I did the best I could. And because a lot of women, I think that's why they couldn't stay around, is because they didn't have the thick skin. They weren't able to take it, because it's a lot. Like, it's a very male-dominated business, especially back in 2006, you know. And me being so young, you kind of just take it on the chin and just keep it moving.
Well, how did you deal with the negative response from fans that might have felt that way?
That was hard, too, because that was the start, I guess, of Twitter, social media kind of thing, was like,
yeah,
when I started in ECW, and I just got so much hate, and I was just like, what, after every match or after every time I was on TV, I would look on my phone and I was like, oh my gosh, you're terrible, you suck, you're a whore, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh my gosh, what? And so you just take it after a while with a grain of salt, and you just get used to it. And as people got to see my character and they got to see the real me, I didn't have to deal with it as much. But
that's a crazy thing to have to get used to.
Oh,
though.
Yeah. And that's why, like, a lot of these girls, like, and like young Instagram models will ask, like, how do you deal with, like, all the hate? Or, like, when people are like, everybody has an opinion. They're behind a computer. But at the end of the day, like, you know what you bring to the table. You know who you are. Like, people like you. You know, if 500 out of one, you know, one person's going to say one negative comment, it's like, why? You know? So
yeah.
I feel like I had that advantage, especially with my reality show, too. A lot of the girls took that really hard because a lot of girls were not liked on the show.
Well, did you ever watch any of those episodes and be like, why'd they edit me like that?
I was very happy about how I got edited, because I was very aware. Like, I knew when they were trying to feed us drinks, and I knew, like, I was just very aware of everything, and a lot of the girls were not. And they would just say these off-the-wall things, and I would just be thinking, oh, this is going to be so bad against you. Like, oh, it's not going to be good. But I was very happy with how there was never an episode where I was like, oh, my gosh, I hate myself in that. But
knowing that you went through that, would you do another show?
I would. I'd really enjoy it. I really enjoy, you know, the people, the fans getting to see kind of like my everyday life and kind of see what I do on a daily basis and, you know, kind of life after wrestling and after WAGS. So yeah,
you could make a YouTube channel and have so many subscribers.
I thought about it.
Well, if you do, everyone watching this right now will subscribe to you.
Well, I mean, maybe, yeah, we'll see.
If you have any questions, I will answer them. They might not be good answers, but okay. I will try to help out.
That would be great.
Do you go on a lot of auditions?
I do. I go on a lot of guest ones when they're looking for, like, guest stars and guest roles for, like, influencers or, like, athletic, like, wrestlers or something, you know, stuff like that. More comedic stuff, because I feel like that's kind of my forte. I'm not trying to, like, go and do a big drama and, you know, cry. But we all know, you know, I could do it, but, yeah.
13 years ago, you probably wouldn't have thought you'd be where you're at now. If you look ahead 13 years, where are you going to be at 45?
My goodness.
Where are you going to be at 45?
I don't know. Hopefully married with babies.
You have a fur baby.
I do.
Your dog's the sweetest dog.
She is. She's over there passed out right now.
Oh, look at her.
She's very entertained.
Yeah, I mean, how far ahead do you look?
You know, I like to take things a day at a time. And this is like... this has always been, for the last 2 years, has been my motto. Like, if I start to look too far, it's just so, just anxiety and stress. And so I just live every day, you know, and I take it as it comes. But I've always wanted a family, and that's always been my dream. So, yeah.
There's no reason that can't happen.
No.
And then you can make a YouTube show about it.
There we go. I think people would love to see that. Pregnant Barbie. I'm like,
yeah.
Wow.
What is your favorite feud that you had?
My favorite feud? Definitely Beth Phoenix. She brought out the best in me. We had the best matches together. Our match at SummerSlam for the Divas Championship in the Staples Center. It was just amazing.
That was a violent
match.
Were
you there?
I was not there.
Oh.
No.
Dang.
I know. You were there.
Because the live crowd was very, very lively, very excited.
Is that like, is that the one of the biggest ones people talk to you about?
That one, I would say when we did, when we were in Buffalo, her hometown, it was for the Divas Championship. It was all the titles were on the line.
Night of Champions?
Night of Champions. That was rough because I had never been booed ever in 7 years. And everyone was like, look, this is Beth's hometown. It's going to get bad. It's going to be bad. Don't let, just try and like, you know, not let anybody, all their, you know, boos, all their, you know, things they're going to say to you, just, you know, take it out of your mind and just, you know, put all your focus into the match. And so I did, but it was hard at first, but it made for a really great match. And that one was really, I think that one, yeah.
Did you ever think about how you could be a heel, how you could get over?
I went to Vince one time and I was like, hey, Vince, like, kind of had this idea. I was thinking about being a bad guy. He was like, okay, well, let's see your bad guy face. And so I was like,
is that it?
Hold on, I'm gonna get ready.
Okay.
So I was like, okay. And then I started laughing. And he was like, see, this is why. Get out of my office. And I was like, ugh. He's like, this is you, you know? And he was like, the fans love you. Like, why would you ever want to turn? I'm like, just because I think it would be cool, but, you know.
By the way, can you tell us where your fountain of youth is? Because you haven't.
Oh, bless your heart.
Seriously. You look exactly the same now as when you debuted in ECW.
Oh my gosh, you're so sweet.
Is the secret just drink lots of water?
I mean, and wine. I don't know. my mom, my mom and my dad, like the genetics is just very blessed.
You're blessed. The true genetic freak, not Scott Steiner.
Yeah. Yeah, he's up there though. He's stuff. I'm like, whoa, he looks exactly the same too.
So should your parents don't age? So you're going to look great when you're their age?
I mean, I look at my mom and I'm like, all right, you look, and she's in her 60s and she's killing it. So.
Well, congrats to Barbie's mom.
Thanks, mom.
Someone on Twitter wanted to ask about, you had a very small program with Randy Orton and then it just disappeared after like 1 week.
Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
I don't really know. I remember they wanted to do this storyline. I think had to do with Kane maybe too. But I don't know. They had it. We started out and I guess... I don't know. It lasted for 2 weeks.
Like, and Randy was like, I used you and, you
yeah,
know.
And I, you know, so poor me again, right? Like, I always had to deal with, like, these big, mean men. And I had to be like, oh, feel bad for me. I just remember we had the script one night and he was going to say all these mean things. And I used you and you were nothing to me and blah, 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 blah. And I think maybe they were going to debut a guy maybe and have him come save me. I don't know. But they just kiboshed the whole thing. I don't really know what the point was. I mean, that was the same kind of thing when they brought in Karma.
Yes.
Too. We were supposed to do this huge storyline together. And apparently, like, she was supposed to, you know, she was going to come and beat everybody up around me and then just save me. And then we were kind of going to, I guess, be like partners. Like, I was going to be like her tag team. Like, I don't know how, but then, you know, they dropped the ball on that one. So I thought that would have been really cool. That would have been really
fun. Give Divas a chance.
I mean, well, look at it now. I'm so proud and happy for, you know, where the women are at right now. So, you know, it took us going through it.
When you finally did decide to leave, what was the real catalyst for that?
What do you mean?
When you left WWE.
Yeah.
Was it like... You know, was it once something specific? Were you just done with it? Were you ready for something else?
You know, for me, I had never been hurt, luckily. I had never really been out, never taken time off. So from 19 until 26 years, so for 7 years, basically, I was on the road straight 300 days a year.
Yeah.
And I was tired. My body was tired. My heart, and your heart has to be in it. Like, you have to go out there every night and give it your all, or the fans can feel if you're, you know, they can feel if you're not into it. And it just got to a point where I was like dreading having to get on the plane and I just wanted some time off at that point. And they, you know, they were very supportive of it. They said, you know, take as much time off as you need. So I took a few months off And then I kind of wanted to come back, but I wanted to come back part-time. Mm-hmm. And they were like, look, you know, where we were at back then, it was like, no, it's either all or nothing kind of thing. And, you know, but they were like, the door is always open. So, you know, if you ever, you know, want to come back or if, so it was good. Like, we ended on good terms. There was no bad blood. It was just my time. I was just ready to, like, be at home and, like, you know, put focus into my family. And so, yeah, it wasn't anything bad that happened.
As you sit here right now, after being in the ring for all those years, does anything hurt on you now?
Not really. Like, my neck, like, my discs in my neck are a little disaligned, but I guess that comes with it, right? I'll get a few migraines here and there. But other than that, no, I'm very blessed, very lucky.
Because you talk to some wrestlers that have been doing this, you know, mm-hmm. for 20 plus years, and they're like, oh yeah, my knees when I get out of bed, or my back.
I talk to so many people and at these signings and stuff, and like, a lot of the guys can't, like, hardly, like, they're, like, just hunched over, and yeah. It's just, like, it's so sad, and...
I asked a similar question like that to Mick Foley, and mm-hmm. he goes, you mean what hurts the most?
Yeah, yeah. He was like, because every day I'm in pain, but I know.
Who do you still keep in touch with?
Candace Michelle, it's so funny. She did a little comedy bit for, like, a charity thing that we went to the other night, and she was so good. And then, so I came to support her for that. And then we actually randomly saw each other in Sherman Oaks yesterday. Yeah. So I talked to her. I mean, I talked to Tor. We're on a group message actually with all the girls, from our era, because when Ashley passed away, we all wanted to, you know, do something for Ashley and for her daughter. And we came together and we, you know, did this GoFundMe, which has raised $100,000.
Wow.
And it's just, it gives me goosebumps because that, you know, we never thought we were just going to throw this number out and we're just going to hope and pray and we want to do whatever we can. And so we're all on this message. There are like 20 of us. So it's like,
what?
Lillian,
oh,
Melina,
God.
Jillian, Tori, Candace, Crystal, Layla, Beth, Michelle, like every girl from that era is all on it.
You must get notifications all day.
All day. Square. It's like it's labeled squared circles. Squared circle girls or
with
something.
With an emoji? There's got to be
an
emoji.
Yeah, there's an emoji. Uh-huh.
Which one?
I'm sure I probably have like 10 right now on there from them. But so I like to, you know, keep in contact with, and we see each other a lot at these signings too. So it's like a reunion. Every time we get to see
you. So where's the next place people can see you?
I will actually be signing at the Wrestling Guys store here, right outside of California, or right outside of LA.
Oh, okay.
The 23rd from, I think, 10 to 2.
This will be posted before then, so there you go, guys.
Yeah. And then I will be in Jacksonville, Florida for
your
River
hometown?
City Con, yes. And then I'm throwing the first pitch at like the minor league baseball team there, so that's exciting. I threw a first pitch at an Arizona Diamondbacks game, and I did well, so I'm not worried about it.
So this, okay.
There's no nerves, there's no, what is it, who was it, 50 Cent who did the...
Oh my God.
No 50 Cents here. And then I'm going, doing a Comic-Con July 26th through the 28th in London. And
there's a lot of UK people watching this.
Yeah. So that, please come out and say hi, please, 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 please.
Tell Kelly that you saw this interview.
Yes.
Yeah. Kelly Barber. What am I supposed to call you?
I mean, you know, whatever you feel.
K squared.
Yeah, K2.
If you were to come back now, who would you want to have a match with?
Charlotte. Definitely Charlotte.
Right to the top.
Yeah, I mean, she's it. She's just has it. Like, you know, and her, just with her mic skills, with her athleticism, and her being a gymnast too, and having that background, and, you know, Rick being her dad, she just inherited so many amazing things from him. And she, it's so crazy because when I first met her, she didn't want to wrestle. She was like, good. She was, you know, just like graduated college, I think.
It was volleyball, right?
Yeah, she was had no intentions of being a wrestler. And so a few years ago, she just was like, I'm going to do it. And she's killed it. And it's just so exciting to watch her. She's very, very exciting to see and watch. And her matches with Becky are epic. So
This has been epic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
At the Barbie Blank on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the Barbie Blank.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was fun. I like that. Big thank you to Barbie Blank, aka Kelly Kelly, for inviting me to her apartment in LA, where we made this interview happen. I wonder if, or I should say when, we will see her back in the WWE for an appearance. Oh, and her dog, Bambi, is one of the cutest, sweetest little French bulldogs you will ever meet. You got to watch my video on YouTube to see that. The dog makes an appearance. It's awesome. Thanks to Green Roads for sponsoring the Chris Van Vliet Show. Use the code CHRIS15 to get, oh, you guessed it, 15% off your CBD products. Also, thanks to Samson Technologies. That's samsontech.com for the pro podcasting pack that we are podcasting on right now. And thank you for listening. Please leave a review. Make sure to share this. Let's get the word out about the Chris Van Vliet Show. And don't forget, I say it all the time, but it's shaped my life and helped me so much. Vague goals get vague results. So get out there this week and let's set some specific goals.